Every fan knows the right player in the right position can be a game changer. Put LifeLock between your identity and identity thieves to monitor and alert you to threats you could miss. Plus, with a U.S.-based restoration specialist on your team, you won't have to face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other losses from identity theft alone. All backed by the LifeLock Million Dollar Protection Package. Change the game on identity theft. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Some unique research ideas that researchers may have found. Now, all this kind of data needs to be secured and protected. And so, if you look at the level of risk, it would basically depend on the strength of the security controls within these particular organizations. And also, on the other hand, how sophisticated the malicious actors' tools are in launching these attacks.
As we digitize and try to push everything from manual work, from handwritten notes, paper, whatever you call it, we should make sure that the data that we are collecting, for instance, if you give your Ghana card to somebody, do people really understand what that actually means? It's like if you have a passport, for instance, you could take that book, that document with everything. If you lose it, you really want to do anything in your power to make sure that you get it back. So that information that is in that little book that you hold in the form of a passport, think of it like now you put in that same information in the hands of wherever it's being stored. Whether it's your digital footprint, your social media accounts, your logins, your other identity, personal information that you might have, that all forms part of the whole data that we talk about that is being collected when you're applying for a job, when you're buying something. Now, the question comes in the health sector. Who actually manages this data? Who is actually protecting them? How are they being stored? Are they encrypted or they are just being collected and they left as it is and anybody can get access to it?
The vulnerability of the citizen will vary widely. I mean, that would be level of knowledge of the citizen about cybersecurity issues. Number two, it will also depend on the behavior of the citizen on the internet. So if I go to the internet and I expose my data or my sensitive information, of course, I make myself extremely vulnerable. So the behavior of the citizen on the internet counts. And then also, the thing is, maybe from a national point of view, how national institutions are securing, or if you like, protecting the data of the citizen. Okay, so the vulnerability of the citizen, I believe, depend on these three important factors.
It could be very devastating because you're talking about health here. So, for instance, if you go to the hospital and your data is breached, or somebody gets a hold of your data, they can modify your prescription, for instance, and then you can get the wrong medication being provided to you. A clear case for, I know Ghana was doing the drone delivery of blood to rural areas some time ago. I'm not 100% sure whether it's still in play. Drones use the same, they have a memory, they have a processing power, they also have a storage unit. That's the same concept when it comes to any computer that an attacker will be able to utilize to launch the attacks. So if an attacker uses the same concept, is able to manipulate the code on the drone and modify the drone to the point where the drone is diverted to a different location, or maybe the blood that is even transporting is fake, for instance. On the other end, the hospital or the facility doesn't know that has been the case. They administer this fake blood to the patient. Think about the consequence that could occur.
So within the education center, like I said, you have data that is sensitive, you know, staff data, you have student data, you have research data, Okay, so research findings are also important data. So you are concerned with how to ensure that these kinds of information is rightly secured with the proper network controls. Now, if you also come to this education sector, you know, for instance, in KNUSD, we have a very big network system, and students, staff, researchers are all connected over this network. An attacker being successful to intrude or penetrate into this network system may be able to steal valuable data or have access to students' data, credentials, and so on, which can be used for many other negative things.
The other application I can think of, even in the USA, is being thought of. So you have bad guys, they come and cause mayhem where they sort of launch massive attack. People are injured. You try to go to the blood bank to be able to administer blood. But then they are, because these hospital equipment, surgery equipment, everything is going digital right now. They modify the blood bank refrigerators and then tweak the temperatures to the point where there's no blood. The blood is bad. So people are injured. They go to the hospital. You won't be able to administer blood to them. Think of another scenario where you're on the surgical bed. Surgery is being done on you. And an attacker is able to breach the hospital the equipment. And then in the midst of the surgery, nothing is working. Everything stops working. That's death right there. So there could be really serious consequences as a result. So we need to really tighten some of the screws.
I took you by surprise, I see. It is Ghana month, and you can see me reflecting it. But yes, we'll speak some of the English. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for joining us here at the Ecobank headquarters as we bring you the Joy News Youth Bridge Foundation National Dialogue on Cyber Security. And as most of you are aware, the theme: strengthening cybersecurity protocols, safeguarding citizens' vulnerability. It's going to be a very interesting conversation that we're going to be having here, even as we host our very respected guests who have graciously joined us. But for those of you listening to us, those of you who may be watching us, let me just let you know that you can catch us live on Joy News, on Joy 99.7 FM on radio, on myjoyonline.com, that is www.myjoyonline.com, and on all other social media handles of the multimedia group. Let me also quickly acknowledge some of our very special guests, some of whom I'll be interacting with later on the show. Director General of the Cybersecurity Authority, Dr. Albert Intribuesiakwe, is here. Doc, please give us a wave. Let's acknowledge him. Thank you very much, Doc. We also have the CEO of the Hydra Cybersecurity, Kwame Odro Numapal. Mr. Numapal, thank you very much for joining us. Director General, Ghana Education Service, Dr. Eric Nkansa, is Doc here. All right, I'm sure he'll catch up with us. Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Patrick Kuma Bwaje. I've not seen him yet. I'm sure he'll be joining us as well. CEO, someone I've definitely seen, Ghana Enterprise Agency, Mrs. Kosi Nchiwa Yankiae. Thank you so much, ma'am, for joining the conversation. And my boss himself, CEO of the National Identification Authority, Professor Ken Atifwa. Sometimes we disturb him a little bit, and then we return to... We also have Head of IT, Jacob Tete Akono, that is at the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission. Thank you. Thank you for joining the conversation. In case you didn't know, my name is Benjamin Akapu, and it's a pleasure to be here to serve you. So right before we get into the nitty-gritty, as a student of cybersecurity as well, it's only fitting to lay part of the conversation bare. The world is becoming ever more dangerous on the cybersecurity front. We know that about 30,000 websites are hacked every day, out of which 43% are those belonging to small businesses. This indeed is a menace in a place like the U.S. where at least 62% of organizations face a myriad of cyber attacks. 3 years ago, an interesting fact, one of the world's largest retailers suffered a massive ransomware attack that led to the data of 150 million people being siphoned, taken away. Some of us have been concerned, for example, with how our data is used. And maybe to make it even more concrete, right before we get into the video that we're going to premiere shortly, Robert S. Mueller III, former director of the FBI, says, interestingly, there are only two types of companies, those that have been hacked and those that will be hacked. So if you've not yet been hacked, the hacker will be saying, "I go reach everybody." But that's why we all must be prepared, because governments, multinational corporations, individuals, nobody is safe. If you fail to protect yourself, you may be caught pants down. That's why we're having this all-important conversation this morning. And without further ado, I would like to ask now that the screening of that cybersecurity video be shown. It's just a few minutes, after which we shall proceed from there.
Ghana has taken some good steps as far as her preparedness towards cyber attack is concerned. Some of the steps include the cybersecurity policies and the legislation instruments that we currently have, which are basically meant to address cybersecurity concerns within the country.
Kudos to the Cybersecurity Authority, Dr. Nchibuesiako on the helm. He's doing a fantastic job. The other part also is the infrastructure. For instance, if you compare Ghana, say, in contrast to some of the African countries, even in the United States, the Ghana government meant to improve in this area as well.
However, for the fact that cyber attacks evolve over time, I think that as a country, we still have more to do, or there is much more room for improvement as far as our preparedness or cybersecurity is concerned. We need to actually empower a lot more people with technical skills and research capacity in order to be able to propose new mechanisms that can enable the detection of cyber attacks and also deploy, or if you like, implement important security controls within various organizations to ensure that as a country we are somehow positioned in a good state against cyber attack.
Digitization has been one of the biggest mantra for the government, and that has been pretty going well. And as we go into digital, we have to also accept the fact that there might be some lapses. We're trying to evolve, we're trying to develop, catch up with the advanced world and advanced technologies.
If you take the health sector, for instance, patient data, or if you like, patient health record, is a very sensitive information that must be kept securely. And also, if you come to the education sector, you would find that in the institutions, you have data of staff and student, and sometimes even some unique research ideas that researchers may have found. Now, all this kind of data needs to be secured and protected. And so if you look at the level of risk, it would basically depend on the strength of the security controls within these particular organizations. And also, on the other hand, how sophisticated the malicious actors' tools are in launching these attacks.
As we digitize and try to push everything from manual work, from handwritten notes, paper, whatever you call it, we should make sure that the data that we are collecting, for instance, if you give your Ghana card to somebody, do people really understand what that actually means? It's like if you have a passport, for instance, you protect that book, that document with everything, if you lose it, you really want to do anything in your power to make sure that you get it back. So that information that is in that little book that you hold in the form of a passport, think of it like now you put in that same information in the hands of whoever, wherever it's being stored. Whether it's your digital footprints, your social media accounts, your logins, your date of birth, your other identity, personal information that you might have, that all forms part of the whole data that we talk about that is being collected when you're applying for a job, when you're buying something. Now, the question comes in the health sector. Who actually manages this data? Who is actually protecting them? How are they being stored? Are they encrypted or they are just being collected and they left as it is and anybody can get access to it?
The vulnerability of the citizen will vary widely. I mean, that will depend, for instance, on the level of knowledge of the citizen about cybersecurity issues. Number two, it will also depend on the behavior of the citizen on the internet. Okay, so if I go to the internet and I expose my data or my sensitive information, of course, I make myself extremely vulnerable. So the behavior of the citizen on the internet counts. And then also, the last thing is maybe from a national point of view, how our national institutions are securing or, if you like, protecting the data of the citizen. Okay, so the vulnerability of the citizen, I believe, depend on these three important factors.
It could be very devastating because you're talking about health here. So, for instance, if you go to the hospital and your data is breached or somebody gets a hold of your data, they can modify your prescription, for instance, and then you can get the wrong medication being provided to you. A clear case, I know Ghana was doing the drone delivery of blood to rural areas some time ago. I'm not 100% sure whether it's still in play. Drones use the same, they have a memory, they have a processing power, they also have a storage unit. That's the same concept when it comes to any computer that an attacker will be able to utilize to launch the attacks. So if an attacker uses the same concept, is able to manipulate the code on the drone and modify the drone to a point where the drone is diverted to a different location, or maybe the blood that is even transporting is fake, for instance. On the other end, the hospital or the facility doesn't know that that has been the case. They administer this fake blood to the patient. Think about the consequence that could occur.
So within the education center, like I said, you have data that is sensitive, you know, staff data, you have student data, you have research data. Okay, so research findings are also important data. So you are concerned with how to ensure that these kinds of information is rightly secured with the proper network controls. Now, if you also come to this education sector, you know, for instance, in KNUSD, we have a very big network system, and students, staff, researchers are all connected over this network. An attacker being successful to intrude or penetrate into this network system may be able to steal valuable data or have access to students' data, credentials, and so on, which can be used for many other negative things.
The other application that you can think of, even in the US here, is being thought of. So you have bad guys, they come and cause mayhem where they sort of launch massive attack, people are injured. You try to go to the blood bank to be able to administer blood, but then they are, because these hospital equipment, surgery equipment, everything is going digital right now. They modify the blood bank refrigerators and then tweak the temperatures to the point where there's no blood. The blood is bad. So people are injured. They go to the hospital. You won't be able to administer blood to them. Think of another scenario where you're on the surgical bed. Surgery is being done on you. and an attacker is able to breach the hospital equipment, and then in the midst of the surgery, nothing is working, everything stops working. That's death right there. So there could be really serious consequences as a result. So we need to really tighten some of the screws.
We have to ensure strict enforcement of data protection policies, or if you like, legislations, to a very high extent. The citizen must be aware of how their data is protected and how their data is used. This is very, very important. Also,
pulling up to Mickey D's just for drinks? Oh yeah, that's me. Nothing extra, just perfection and a straw. Coming in hot for the coldest cups on the block. Because there are drinks. Then there are drinks from McDonald's.
Mix things up with any size lemonade or sweet tea for $1.49. Perfect with our classic fries. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Every fan knows the right player in the right position can be a game changer. Put LifeLock between your identity and identity thieves to monitor and alert you to threats you could miss. Plus, with a U.S.-based restoration specialist on your team, you won't have to face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other losses from identity theft alone. All backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package. Change the game on identity theft. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Don't you love an extra $100 in your pocket? Have a TurboTax expert file your taxes for you by March 31st to get $100 back instantly. Because no matter what moves you made last year, TurboTax makes them count. That means getting $100 back and 100% accurate taxes only from Intuit TurboTax. Must file by 3/31. Credit only applicable to federal filing fees with TurboTax full service. Offer can be modified or terminated at any time.
Did you hear? Macy's one-day sale starts Tuesday. Refresh your wardrobe for spring with great deals on brands you know, like 40 to 60% off Anne Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Style & Co., and more. And add your flair with 30 to 50% off shoes, handbags, and accessories. Plus, get 15 to 65% off home updates from Cuisinart, Lennox, and more. Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase, except gift card services and fees. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Los mejores viajes nacen en la carretera, pero este comenzará en tu mente. ¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500. Hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.
We must be very intentional. I mean, I must say that if you want to look at the successful approach to our efforts towards cybersecurity progress, I think it must be a multi-stakeholder approach. And we must be very intentional in our adoption for multi-stakeholder approach, involving all relevant sectors that really matter, so that we can really have a very good flow of information and share information across board. Because one of the things that would really keep us on top is being able to share information about emerging attacks and possible attacks and possible ways of mitigating them amongst ourselves as institutions.
Apart from just focusing everything on infrastructure, we need to understand that awareness is always critical. As a company, you can spend so much building your firewalls, putting the right technological tools in place, servers, policies that you can enact. But it only takes one person to allow the bad guy to get in. And because they don't have the awareness or the training that is necessary for them not to click on that.
And that is it. I love the way, the note on which it ended, because if you follow cybersecurity, you will know that you are as strong as your weakest link. And so if you have a link in the chain that is weak, it weakens the entire unit. And that is what we look out for in cybersecurity. You're still live with us on Joy 99.7 FM and Joy News. This is the Joy News Youth Bridge Foundation National Dialogue on Cybersecurity. We're also live on myjoyonline.com. For those of you who are now connecting, spread the word. Let's all stay secure. Now, having followed that video and the contents thereof, let me quickly acknowledge those who have collaborated with us to make this event a possibility, starting with our partners, Youth Bridge Foundation. They have collaborated with us to make this possible. How many are those from Youth Bridge here? Let me see. I see Gloria at the rear. Thank you so much for making this dream a reality. Our co-conspirators in good things, those who are sponsoring this event. We'll start with our hosts, Echo Bank. We also have Hydra Cybersecurity. Let's show some love. We have the Cybersecurity Authority, also here present, and we have the Ghana Enterprises Agency as well. My medical doctor friends tell me something, maybe I should share with you. They say when you clap, the nerve endings in our body, they end in our palms or our hands, and our feet. Many of us don't clap our feet. You can clap your hands. So when you clap, you are giving yourself a free massage to stay healthy. Do you want to stay healthy? Clap for me now. Thank you. Thank you very much. You are too kind. But let's get into the serious stuff. And so we are now going to take some welcome remarks by our hosts, Echo Bank. We're here at the Echo Bank headquarters in Central Accra. And I'm pleased to invite forward the head of commercial banking unit at Echo Bank, Charlotte Amankwa. She will deliver the welcome address. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Good morning again, and a warm welcome to you. I'm doing this on behalf of our managing director, Mrs. Abena Osei-Poku, who is the landlady and hosting you today. She sends her deepest apologies because of another engagement. So I'll read her speech. The leadership of Youth Bridge Foundation and the multimedia group, distinguished guests, our friends from the media, ladies and gentlemen, all protocol observed. I wish to welcome you all to Echo Bank Ghana, and particularly to this event, the National Dialogue on Cybersecurity, organized by the Youth Bridge Foundation and the multimedia group. I'm also glad to know that both organizations are very good customers of Echo Bank Ghana, and I take this opportunity to thank you both for your patronage over the years. Let me say here that we at Echo Bank are very elated to be associated with this program for two reasons. One is because of the chosen sectors, health, education, and small business, and two, the subject for the dialogue, cybersecurity. Working with small businesses in education and health and many other sectors, which are critical to national development, are two of the key pillars for the bank's corporate social responsibility, CSR, activities, as well as important business segments within our commercial banking portfolio. We therefore usually provide financial support for these sectors on the business front, and also channel resources annually to promote these sectors, particularly in vulnerable communities around the country, by way of CSR. The issue of cybersecurity, on the other hand, has been one of serious interest to Echo Bank ever since we introduced digital and online banking to our customers. As you may already know, bank customers continue to embrace the use of technology by patronizing various cashless modes of transaction, such as debit and credit cards, mobile apps, internet banking, USSD banking, etc. For EcoBank, more than 80% of our consumer banking transactions are done remotely. It is therefore imperative for us to ensure that the required cybersecurity safeguards are in place to protect the privacy of our customers and to also protect their banking data. We therefore continue to invest time and other resources into finding ways to protect our customers 24/7. We will persistently do this with the aim of building credibility and trust in the eyes of our customers and to keep their digital and online transactions safe and secure always. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue of cybersecurity safeguard remains a priority to us as we work against the obnoxious attacks of hackers who often keep surveillance online with the aim of taking advantage of unsuspecting bank customers who transact online. We intensify customer education and we work to protect the devices used by our customers, such as smartphones, laptops, tablets, and so on, and the banking services that they patronize on these devices. We equally usually work to reduce the risk of cyber attacks and protect against the unauthorized exploitation of our systems, networks, and technologies, thereby making it safer for customers to use our online and digital products. Part of our customer education is to make a pledge to customers that EcoBank will never share links on any subject matter for them to click, and they should remain alert never to click on any link shared with them by anyone purporting to represent EcoBank. We are very hopeful that this event will help create further awareness and keep the average Ghanaian informed about cybersecurity threats, whether in banking, education, health, or any other aspect of small business. Being mindful of the benefits that digitalization brings to the transformation of people, institutions, and nations, vis-a-vis the associated risks over the past couple of years, I simply want to conclude by saying that this dialogue could not have happened at a better time than this. I have no doubt whatsoever that the panelists will do justice to the subject matter and leave all participants, including those joining remotely, well informed. We thank you for your kind attention and wish you fruitful deliberations. Welcome.
I am grateful to see that the clapping is getting better. Kakra Akra will get there. Thank you so much, Charlotte Amankwa, Head Commercial Banking Unit with EcoBank. And as we proceed from here, Ifeoru Akasa, we are now going to hear from our partners before we come and hear from the multimedia group, Joy News to be specific, the channel manager. But before we get there, Youth Bridge Foundation, they have helped us bring this forth. I am glad to call forward Gloria Emeka to tell us about why this collaboration was brought to bear. Please, let's welcome her.
Thank you, Ben. And good morning, distinguished guests, once again, and panelists, and audience, and our viewers. I will stand on the existing protocols already established to make remark on behalf of the Youth Bridge Foundation, especially my executive director, who is sitting right by our side, Mr. Seth. He's right here. Please, let's give him a round of applause. We are gathered here today to discuss an important issue that has ramification on our daily lives. In August last year, the Youth Bridge Foundation convened young people from different parts of Africa. That's over 100 young people from Africa and the diaspora to discuss issues happening in Africa. And one of the things, or one of the outcomes of the convergence, which we call the annual African Youth and Governance Convergence. We've been doing this program since 15 years, and one of the outcomes last year was the need for to protect people and around the cyberspace. Specifically, they called on AU member states to enforce, to ensure the principles and enforce the principles of the AU Convention on Cybersecurity and then Personal Data Protection. So having this discussion, and subsequently we had a discussion to say, okay, with this conversation that has happened and the pressing need and outcomes young people had proposed, what do we do to further this conversation? So that is the reason why we are here today, to have a discussion on the need to enforce our cybersecurity protocols and then protect citizens' vulnerability. So beyond that, what we did was that, okay, young people had discussed, they had made a call to AU, made a call to nationals in their various countries and all that. Let's look further into the issues. So we had a conversation, and then we more like did the primary research, they will call it in the research field, to have a first-hand experience of people who had actually experienced cyber attack, not necessarily directly, because we understand it happens at the institutional level. So at the individual level, because we're also looking at the vulnerability of young people or the vulnerability of people or citizens with regards to cybersecurity. So we asked people for their experiences, and one of the accounts they gave was that somebody lost pregnancy due to prescription that was wrong. And this prescription was done through the computerized system. Personally, I was at the hospital last year, and then I was nearly given a wrong dosage because my prescription was on the computer. So one may ask, these issues are issues of medical negligence by the practitioners. But there's this practical question or issues or questions we began to ask ourselves. What if these systems are hacked such that the medical records are wiped? What happened? Or the system is exposed to some malware which goes on to alter individuals' prescription. This is very possible, and it's reflected in what Kwame, the CEO of Hydra Cybersecurity, said in the video. So we say that there are several cases across Africa where that highlight the need to take cybersecurity seriously. Recall a systems hack involving institutions such as the Electricity Company of Ghana, we are all aware of it, and then issue of a system hack by a premium university of Ghana. So do we wait, we ask at Ubred Foundation, do we wait for hospitals to be hacked and life loss before we can take issues of cybersecurity seriously? Or it is about time we come together to have a conversation that will chart a path to ensure that protocols that we have, because we know, we are very much aware that we have the protocols in place. Cybersecurity Authority is doing so well in terms of raising awareness. They have beautiful policies and all that. But how do we ensure that the protocols, conventions, policies are enforced such that you and I do not lose our lives? So I would read straight away. So we recognize and commend the government of Ghana's stride in advancing cybersecurity measures, and we acknowledge the ratification of AU Convention on Cybersecurity and Personal Data Protection, which Ghana has done as a country. And then, of course, the awareness Cybersecurity Authority has raised. But there is one thing, we still say that more can be done, and we need to do a lot more to ensure that these protocols are enforced. And that is the reason why we are here today. We are collaborating with Joy News, Hydra Cybersecurity Authority, Cybersecurity Authority, Ecobank, who is our host today, and then Ghana Enterprise Agencies to have this conversation. So our deliberations today offers us opportunity to collectively highlight the challenges and propose a course of action to strengthen our cybersecurity protocol, particularly in the health and education sector. Ladies and gentlemen, before I take my seat, it is important to recall the speech our president made during the recent Sith March celebration. So he says, and I quote, "The president highlighted the unprecedented opportunity technology offers in the area of elections and added that it also introduces new avenue for manipulation and misinformation, which could endanger the sanctity of our democratic system. To this end, the focus of this multi-stakeholder engagement and this dialogue, which involve the governmental bodies, we have the academia here, we have the KNUST here, we have the 37 midwife and midwife, is that 37 nursing and midwifery colleagues? Did I get it right? Thank you very much. Here. And then because we know that nurses are the people who give the prescription. And if a nurse make mistakes, like in my case, it was going to happen last year, I would have lost my life. I wouldn't have been here today. That is why we decided to call them to partake in this course, to take this course seriously, and then for us collectively to draw up a line of action or a roadmap that will help us ensure that there is an enforcement of cybersecurity protocol. So, however, we cannot do this alone at Youth Bread Foundation. It involves a multi-stakeholder approach, and that is why we are here. And please, when we come to your door, please do not shut your doors at us. Open it widely, because cybersecurity is not an individual affair. It involves all of us, and it involves people's lives. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for giving us the honors. One quick takeaway, she mentioned the hospital incident and sometimes concerns about, hey, let me data, ETO, all those things, and everything else that follows from there. Even King Charles, he realized when he had his issue with prostate cancer and all of that, how delicate a matter it was. But they didn't want speculation, so they came forth. Enumpono, scanty information, and that is it. But did you know that 95% of data breaches are because of human error? Human error. So she had a point right there. One little mistake and your information is all over the place. But having said that, having heard from our partners, the Youth Bridge Foundation, I would now like to invite forward to deliver a brief message, a welcome address to us by the channel manager of Joy News. He's my squadron leader, Kweku Osupepra. Please, let's welcome him.
Good morning. It's important that we do this. That's why Joy News offers our platform for such intellectual deliberations. We are built to provide an avenue for great minds like yours to think about how to make this nation better. And if you look at the keywords of the theme, one sticks with me very much. Vulnerability. And you may ask yourself how many times you have been vulnerable in life. That afternoon you went under the knife. That morning you flew on an aircraft with your entire family from Accra to Kumasi, and you didn't know whether the pilot was qualified or not. That's vulnerability. That day when somebody called you and asked, are you Mr. Mensa Brampa? When you are Mensa Koto? Because he picked your number from a certain source you do not know and said the child you have is in his school and your child is sick, so send him money. Vulnerability. Because that man doesn't know you. He's some boy sitting under some tree with the privilege of a phone and access to voice call, and how he got your number, you don't know. Vulnerability. That day when you clicked accept all cookies, when you were trying to open a certain website, what in Christ's name are cookies? And because you need that information from research gates or from wherever, you click and you accept cookies. That day when you want to renew your Netflix account and you have a Visa card from Ecobank or from any bank, And you have, if you are rich enough, some good zeros on that account, and you log in, and you do not know who would have that access in Netherlands tomorrow. Vulnerability. Every one of us in this room is vulnerable. But trust is what provides the security we need. And that's why we are here. To build those strong synergies that deepens our trust for each other. To safeguard what we hold dear and true to our lives. That's why we are here. So let every moment count. Let every thought that is shared be valued. And let the aggregate of our strong minds ensure that we come to a point where we build a strong, resilient, cyber-secured society where you can go to sleep knowing that your data, when you wrote your name on that document, is well protected. Because we have to be each other's keeper. Joy News, we are your independent, fearless, and credible media platform. And in this aggregate of minds, we want to assure you that we'll continue to deliver that kind of partnerships, synergies, and a continuous movement towards building a great society where everybody feels safe, whether in the cyberspace or as we coexist in the physical space. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kweku Owusu Pepra, Channel Manager, Joy News. That's my boss right there. So you're still here, those of you watching us live on Joy News, those of you listening to us on Radio Joy 99.7 FM. You can also catch us on myjoyonline.com and on all other social media handles. This is the Joy News Youth Bridge Foundation National Dialogue on Cybersecurity. It's my concern, it's your concern, it's the world's concern. But how do we protect ourselves? We're making some strides, but what is the way forward? How do we strengthen our resolve on the back of Act 1038 of 2020? Having listened to most of our speakers, there seems to be a certain line that is being drawn. Protect yourself or get devastated. Which is why now I am going to invite forward to deliver some remarks the people at the very helm of affairs when it comes to our protection, the protection of the citizenry. But before I do so, one more acknowledgement of the Youth Bridge Foundation helping us, partnering us to help bring you this. EcoBank, Hydra Cybersecurity, Cybersecurity Authority, and the Ghana Enterprises Agency, all are sponsors as well. I would now like to respectfully invite forward to talk to us about the Cybersecurity Authority, the state of cybersecurity infrastructure policy and protocols adherence here in Ghana. It is none other than, and look correct, I don't like saying things that are not, Director General of the Cybersecurity Authority, Dr. Albert Inchi Bwesiako. Please, let's welcome him. As my former lecturer, you don't want to err in his title.
Very well. And thank you for the invite. Prof, Madam, everyone else here, of the board of the Cyber Security Authority, management and staff, for the invitation extended to us to take part of this dialogue. I think I've been hearing some positive comment regarding the work that the authority is doing. And I wish to put on record that I think the Republic is fortunate to have a team of about 100 people who are leading this process. Somebody mentioned my name, I'm only a figurehead. As a matter of fact, my colleagues are those who are doing the work. But if you also look critically into the Act 1038, there is a structure, a body called the Joint Cybersecurity Committee, rep- representing relevant agencies in this space who work closely with us. The civil society itself has been an instrumental partner in this development. You've been in this space for a number of years, and I think you have contributed to this process. It is not just CSA. Of course, there is always first among equals. Leadership is required in every field of endeavor. The authority is just leading, but we're leading collectively with other institutions, both within the public space, but also in the private sector. But I acknowledge the experiences of co-panelists who will be joining the discussion. And I think, most importantly, to the two partners, the Youth Bridge, Madam Gloria, you visited in person. You came with a colleague from Joy News. And we are quite happy that we have institutions in the non-governmental space who are also championing the state of our cybersecurity development. I think per our mandate, I'm only to provide a certain context, and then all of us can share our experiences, especially with respect to how we move forward to develop a country. It is true that within the last few years, the Republic has taken bold steps to improve its state of cybersecurity. I think most of you can reference the ITU Global Cybersecurity Index. Beginning in the middle of 2017, Ghana's readiness has measured along some parameters, legal, organizational measures, capacity building, international cooperation, and other elements. Our rating was 32.6%. As at the end of 2020, that ranking progressed to 86.69, projecting Ghana as the third most ranked country on the continent, but also catching up with countries globally which are doing quite well in this area. I think this has been achieved collectively by all of us. But let's look at the state of our environment. I think we need not to possibly elaborate too much in terms of the state of digitalization across the various sectors. If you take the government sector, a number of initiatives championed by His Excellency the Vice President, and I'm happy Prof. Atifa is here, but the MUMO interoperability infrastructure, the Ghana Gov infrastructure, and also talking about the health sector. Just a few weeks ago, the Ministry of Communications and Digitalization is completing the project, connecting the various health facilities within the country. So that sector is also highly being digitized through the support from the World Bank. And I'm happy that the health sector has been brought into the space. Private sector, I think the fintech ecosystem and the statistics demonstrate that Ghana is now leading this particular area. But as far as, frankly, when you take the digital ecosystem, either within the fintech, internet penetration, cybersecurity development, I think these are the areas Ghana is really, you know, operating within the top three or the top four maximum. So I think collectively, and it's not just government, of course, I have the thinking that the government is certainly the enabler. The government puts the policy in place. But I think it's collective. A policy that brings on board the private sector, the civil society, and I think that is what is helping projecting our.
Everybody in your crew identifies as either Big Mac Burger, McNuggets, or McCrispy Sandwich. But you're the Filet-O-Fish Sandwich all day. That crispy fish, that savory tartar sauce, that melty cheese, that pillowy bun. Yeah, you get it. Every time.
And if you love the Filet-O-Fish, right now you can catch two of the classics you love for just $6. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Who sells at the shop? Who sells at the street? Those who are earning possibly around 500,000 Ghana cedis, 2,000 as their living wage per month. It is an issue. So it's not just the protection of critical information infrastructure like the systems running Ecobank. But we're also looking at, you know, in the public sector, I've come to realize that Ghanaians, that side of people, you need to also protect them. Because somebody, you know, the 1,000 Ghana cedis for someone could be just a value for lunch. But I also know that for some people that constitute a living wage, and therefore we need to have a mechanism to protect them. What has the state done in this regard? I have a view, ladies and gentlemen. The state and its institutions only have enabling responsibilities in cybersecurity development. I think this is something we need to get as we create awareness. You own your device as a user. You control who accesses the device. The government responsibility as enabler for cybersecurity development is to create a mechanism that awareness can be what? Created, that you educated about the dangers associated with the use of that device. Another enabling intervention of the state is, okay, 292. If you're on the internet and you suspect potential what? Fraud. Cyber issue, please call 292. You do not pay anything. It is free. So the enabling intervention is to empower citizens to protect their vulnerability. When the state put this mechanism, but the users, the right that we have, it is also applied in our usage of digital devices. We hold them. So these are some of the things the authority is looking forward. So for the general public, for example, and you won't find many on the African continent, that when you have a cyber issue, you place a call 292. Initially, when this development was put in place, we thought it was only going to serve those who have suffered cyber attacks. We later realized that Ghanaians are rather calling this number to seek for guidance. So you receive an email that asks you to provide your specific data to win American lottery. And let's assume, I mean, you have not possibly applied for lottery, but let's assume it's a miracle that it has just dropped in your inbox. We are respectfully requesting the citizens to call 292 and verify. This is the state's enabling mandate. It is not the state to act on your behalf in terms of your actions and inactions in preventing the kind of fraud. I think we ought to be candid with our citizens, educate them, so that truly, truly, they take that responsibility of their cybersecurity in their hands. But of course, awareness creation is key. We need to. It's a technical area. You know, we have BBCs, born before computers. And I think these are some of the areas we need to look at that. I'll just conclude. I've mentioned a little bit on the public side. The children, we've worked with a civil society international partner like UNICEF. And we train and sensitize a number of high school students because they are quite vulnerable. We've seen the trend of sextortion and others being reported. And I think we're making good progress. But the last point I would like to raise here, because I've been alerted about a time by Ben, is Ghana from the business side and industry development, because I've seen a lot of industry representative here. You may have been following about the licensing and accreditation of cybersecurity operators in the country. It has been a success. As I speak, a total of over 1,439 institutions and individuals have reached out to the authority to seek for licenses and accreditation. Out of it, we have close to about 200 being cybersecurity service providers. Then we also have more than 1,000 cybersecurity professionals. Ghana is the second country in the world, only to Singapore, to have developed this industry development protocols. It's very important. I want to say this and thank the industry, because this is industry-driven. We ought to, it's a sensitive area. Anybody who has operated in this particular domain, forensics, there is a compromise, your banking environment, madam, you have to call somebody to come in. The person sees what you don't see as a CEO. We can only ensure that the people who have access to the environment do not just demonstrate technical competences, but if also have the moral, they have the ethics, they have the integrity to gain access. Because we've seen without this element what they can do with the information you have. I think I want to thank the industry for embracing this, and Ghana is being an example in this area. We have done our best as a small team, but the journey has just begun. There are a lot of gaps. We have a population of more than 30 million. Ask the authority, how many people have you reached out to them? We haven't. But I think there are concrete steps. And I would like to challenge all of you. We have a collective responsibility as businesses, as government, as individuals of the Republic to work together to protect and secure, and also promote a culture of cybersecurity among our citizens. Joy and Youth Bridge, we thank you for the partnership, and we look forward to be working with you and all of you who are supporting the authority to deliver this critical mandate. We're grateful for the representation. God bless.
Thank you very much. Director General of the Cybersecurity Authority, Dr. Albert Nkibuesiako. And since you're already here with us, I would just encourage you that you take the first seat at the rear, and we'll take the panel discussion from there. All right, so Doc tells me he has a representative who will take that portion for us. We are very grateful. You just heard the Director General of the Cybersecurity Authority, Dr. Albert Nkibuesiako. Please, let's put our hands together for him. Let's appreciate his efforts. So before we get into the panel discussion, you know, an interesting joke came to mind. It said that this IT firm put out a vacancy for someone to resolve some of their cybersecurity problems. It wasn't out in the public. It was in a very closed circle. So there was this person who came for the interview. And before the panel, they asked him, why do you think you are the most qualified? And he said, oh, simple. You didn't invite me into this interview. I hacked into your system and got myself an invitation, and I am here. They gave him the job, because if your G could hack himself into your system and come there, it means you need him on the job. The world is becoming much more dangerous, but how do we protect ourselves? At this point in time, I'm going to invite forward a few people who are going to help us navigate that terrain of what we can do to safeguard ourselves, from health to education to industry and everything in between. But let me one more time acknowledge our partner, Youth Bridge Foundation. They are helping us bring you this, together with Ecobank, the landlords, who are hosting us, Hydra Cybersecurity, Cybersecurity Authority, and the Ghana Enterprises Agency. You're still live on Joy News on television, Joy 99.7 FM, myjoyonline.com, and all our platforms on social media. Moving on from here, I would like to invite forward, in no particular order, but then maybe the seating, when I invite you, you start from that end till we get to this end, respectfully. So I would like to start with the representative of... Okay, so let me start with the CEO, Hydra Cybersecurity, Kwame Oduro Numapao. Do we have Mr. Numapao here? Okay, yeah. There he is. Please. Please start from the far end. We also have, so from the National Identification Authority, Professor Ken Atefa, please, let's do it for him. Let's do it for Prof. Thank you very much. Then from GTEC, we have joining the conversation, their head of IT, that is Jacob Tete Akono. Thank you very much, sir. Then from the Ghana Enterprise Agency. I'm always careful when I'm mentioning her name. You don't want to miss anything in there. And then we have a representative from the Cyber Security Authority. I would call on you at the right time to introduce yourself. He will be stepping in for the Director General of the Cybersecurity Authority, Dr. Albert Inchi Buesiako. Okay, so it appears we have a full house. The CSA is represented, NIA, Hydra Cyber Authority, GTEC, and the Ghana Enterprises Agency. All right, so... we shall proceed from right here. Lady and gentlemen, I was nearly tempted to say ladies, and then I realized that I wasn't a lady. So, lady and gentlemen, we're kickstarting this all-important conversation talking about cybersecurity, but I'd like to find out from each one of you, just to, as a potboiler, way to start off the conversation. In your respective agencies, institutions, on a day-to-day basis, what is the portfolio? What is the profile when it comes to cybersecurity? What are some of the things you've brought to bear? Or if there are attacks from time to time, you can share them with us. And I'll start from where else? Cybersecurity Authority. Please, shall we know?
Sure.
Please introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Stephen Kujoseshi. My role at the Cybersecurity Authority is really around what we call computer emergency response. So that division's job is around receiving incidents and responding to them, and we do that also by coordinating with various stakeholders, whether in the private or public sector. So from the CSA's perspective, the large picture, we are the lead agency for cybersecurity regulation, and as my Director General said, the Act 1038 is our Bible, as it were. And that informs what we do. We are responsible for regulating the sector. We are responsible for implementing the Act in terms of protecting our digital infrastructure.
Right.
And he touched on the fact that we receive incidents, and that's a big part of what we do. We have what we call the point of contact, where you can call and interact with us in terms of reporting any issues you potentially may have experienced, and then you get support. Industry regulations in terms of the license and accreditation, and then other interventions are what we are involved in. So,
right.
In short.
Thank you very much. But just to find out, you are the Cybersecurity Authority. Have you been hacked yourself?
Thankfully
not. I mean, I'd be surprised if you told me that no one had attempted to do that.
There are attempts. So we also have digital infrastructure, just like everybody else. But then we like to follow our own, or we take our own medicine, as it were. So we monitor for potential attacks, and we also make sure that in building those systems, we put in the right protection. So yeah, you see attempts, people trying to probe to see whether you fall down or not. And for us, it'd be a PR disaster if anything of that sort happens. So we take it quite seriously.
All right, we're very grateful, Mr. Sishi. Let me come to Kwasi Yankei. For you, I mean, in this space, you deal with enterprises and all of that, but you also have to keep your eye on the ball when it comes to your cyber safety. How do you deal with that on a day-to-day basis?
So we, in the past few years, one of the things we've really done is to try to use technology to build a database to support the MSMEs across the nation. So over the past few years, as I mentioned, we have various programs that we've used technology to build regional and district data. One of the things we haven't done so well in is really looking at the cybersecurity angle of things, because most of the times you don't think you will be a victim of it. Like you rightly said, there are those who have been and those who will be at some point. And most often than not, you don't really think that you're one of the people who will be impacted by it. But as much as possible, we have an IT department